Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And just a few reminders. The first reminder is that as you put on your calendar the missions weekend on September 22nd and 23rd, I want you to also save the date for Sunday, September 16th, where it is our iLife Sunday. And that is where it is a student-led Sunday morning experience. And this year is our Mission 2012 edition, where participants who went to Maine will be able to share some of their experiences and the things that they learned while they were there. So be sure to save the date for that as well, and that's Sunday, September 16th. As we get started, what I'd like for us to do is just also be reminded that, as Dom shared, there's a half sheet outline in the church bulletin if you'd like to follow along that way. And also, if you'd like to follow along with a Bible, one of our ushers would be glad, just by showing of hands, he'll get a Bible for you, because we're going to be going into Scripture this morning. So last week we began our series called How Good We Have It. And in the remaining weeks of August and into September, we're going to be looking at the book of Philemon. And in the book of Philemon, what we saw last week as Steve started our series was that when you and I begin to see others as God sees others, it really changes everything. And I thought about that this week as I interacted with people, whether I knew or didn't know, and worked to the best of my ability with God's help to be able to see others as God sees others. What we said last week is if there's one thing that we can take away from the book of Philemon, is this, is that the true mark of Christ's church is unity. The true mark of Christ's church is unity. And that'll be in your outline if you're following along. And what Steve shared with us was from Philemon, verse 6. And it says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of everything good we have in Christ. For those of us who've made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, we have union with him. And not only that, with this family that we call Hope, we have union with one another. And so as we begin this morning, I want to ask, how many of you have ever won anything? How many of you have ever, oh wow, there's several of you, okay. So over here, what did you win? Just shout it out. Somebody. Basketball game. You won a basketball game? So the game came to your house, or did you win tickets? Your team won. Okay, you won. What about something that you won that you maybe you, a drawing? Great, great answer, Alex. Thank you. Get out. All right. Sandy Cove for the weekend. What about over in this section? I saw some hands maybe. Nobody won anything over here? You're winners in my book. Okay. For me, this is a while back. My family and I were in Hickory, North Carolina, visiting family, and we were at a minor league baseball game, and they drew my seat. And so I went down and stood on the home team's dugout, and they said, you have won a $1,000 online shopping spree. So I was excited, and so they handed me their certificate and had the code. They told me the website to go to, and in my mind, I'm saying, okay, I'm getting a new surround sound entertainment system. I'm going to get some new tools, maybe a new laptop, and I was so excited. And we got home, and I went online, and I'm looking at the stuff, and I started to get disappointed because the stuff was not the Best Buy. The stuff was not the Home Depot. I actually told my wife, I was like, this is worse than like as seen on TV stuff. Like, this is junk. It's garbage. And she's like, well, there's got to be some good things on there. I'm like, no. And so ultimately, I never bought anything. Because I saw it, like, this was really a waste of my time. It was fun to get it and enjoy it for that moment. And then when I got home, it's kind of like, ugh. And I thought about that story because I thought about sometimes how I do, or how maybe we do. We look at our faith that way. Or we look at the life of the church that way. Well, we get excited at first, and we're like, wow, this is so cool. And this Jesus thing is amazing, and I'm into it. And then maybe something in our lives, or something within the church happens, and we say, I'm checking out because it's just not worth it. And so for you and I this morning, what I want to convey to you today is I truly believe that Christ and his church are worth it. Because one, Christ died for his church, and he establishes the church. He builds the church, and he needs you and I to continue to participate in that. And so I want to bring us just to one word this morning, and we're going to work off that word. And that one word is selfless. And that's one word for myself. I was challenged, even on the mission trip, about being someone who is selfless. And so when we want to look at this word selfless this morning, the main idea in your outlines is this, is that our lives are best used by God when we give ourselves away. Our lives are best used by God when we give ourselves away. You know this as well as I do. We live in a very consumer-driven society. If you remember Steve from last week, he said, I don't want the generic brand of ketchup. I don't want the Hunt's brand of ketchup. It's Heinz and Heinz only. And so we are consumer-driven. I'm driven as well. It's Apple products for me, not the fruit, but I know, Ben, you're not down with that, but I'm all about the Apple products. And so we're consumer-driven at times, and we can take that sometimes, and it translates into our relationships that we have, into our jobs, into the schools that we attend, where it becomes to be about me. Not only that, it sometimes translates into our spiritual life, where we ask God, God, what have you done for me lately? Or even in our church life, where we say, well, that person failed me, or this happened, or that, and so I'm checking out, because it's about me when I come. And so we want to be careful with that, because this is not what Christ died for. And see, what we're looking at here today in Philemon verses 4-7 is that we see Paul, who is in prison, and he's writing a letter to this fellow believer named Philemon. And he's writing to him, and he's encouraging him. He's saying, continue to lean into Christ. Not only that, continue to participate and show your love for the fellow believers there. So if you have a Bible, let's take a look together at Philemon. Philemon is a book in the New Testament. It's only one chapter, so when I say Philemon 4-7, it's chapter 1, verses 4-7. So let's turn there together. Philemon chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 4-7 together. Starting with verse 4, it says this, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. So Paul is writing to Philemon and saying, keep going, man. It's exciting to hear what is going on in your life and in the life of your home church. So what we want to do is first we want to look at two parts, one whole. We want to look at Paul's part in this passage, and we want to look at Philemon's part. Our first is this, is Paul's part is one of a support system. Paul's part is a support system. And we see that Philemon's part here is a participant. We see that Philemon is a participant. You see, Paul here, again, is Philemon's support system as Philemon was living out his faith in Christ. In other words, Paul was saying, listen, keep doing what you're doing. It's exciting to hear what's going on. And man, I got your back. If the only thing that I can do for you is write you this letter while I'm here in prison, if the only thing I can do for you is pray for you when I remember you, that's what I'm going to do. And so that was Paul's role as a support system. Philemon was an active participant in the church. Not only that, Philemon shows us that his love for his community of faith stems out of his love and his growing relationship with Christ. What a beautiful and powerful thing. You know, when I think of support, I want to go back several years. And I want to go back to a guy by the name of Jim. And Jim in my life was my youth pastor. And I remember Jim was a guy who always supported us in our journey of faith. Whether we got it or not, he continued to challenge us and support us in loving God and loving others and being a light in the world. Not only that, Jim would be like, yeah, I'm praying for you. He'd always come up to you and he'd shake your hand, but he'd start rubbing your shoulder as guys. You know, I guess that was cool back in the day, but it really weirded me out all the time. And I'd be like, yeah, Jim, great, you're praying for me. All right, good. But I remembered that as I was preparing for today, because I was able to connect back with Jim on Facebook. And I said to him, Jim, you know, we talked about a year ago, and at that time, your father was going through some illness, and he got back with me, and he says, I don't remember you. No, I'm just kidding. He just said, I don't remember the conversation, but it's great to see what's going on in your life. Tell me what's going on. So even after all these years, Jim is still asking and saying, man, it's amazing what God is doing in your family and in your church life. And so hopefully, Lord willing, that we're going to connect again. He lives right in New Jersey. So I can't wait to go see him again, because I told him, I said, thank you for your support and your investment into my life. Because he was a part of being an example for what I do today. And so, you know, whether he knows that or not, I'm going to tell him. But what a powerful example for in my life of having someone who's a support. If I look to today, I have people in my life who support me, who pray for me, who encourage me. And I'm not just talking about the leaders here at Hope, but I have others in my life who I'm able just to go to lunch with, to talk about life, and to keep me in line as a husband and as a father and as a friend. And so the question that we can ask ourselves is, how can we be a support system? You know, if you think about that, how can we be a support system? If we're talking about giving ourselves away, what does that look like for you and I? Maybe when was the last time that we said to someone, I got your back? When was the last time that we said, hey, I'm praying for you in the middle of what you're going through? And as Chick prayed, you know, where we work and where we live, where we play, where are we being a support? I'm learning this too, because let's be quite honest, there's probably times I've failed some of you, and there's times where that we have failed each other. But how can we be a support system to one another here at Hope? And I think those are some ways, through encouragement. It may be through a phone call, it may be face-to-face, but that's how we can do it. Just like Paul did. Paul said, if there's only one thing I can do, I'm gonna pray for you, Philemon. Not only that, what about, how do we participate in the life of the church here at Hope? You've heard several ways that you can do that. You can open up your home to a progressive dinner. You can check with the elders to see what are some of the needs that we have here at the church. And so those are some ways that we can practically say, how can I be a participant in Hope? Because ultimately, Hope is a part of Christ's church. See, when you and I begin to individually live out our faith and grow and love God with all that we are, we will collectively be a caring place where God transforms lives. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. We will be a church that is united, we're quick to forgive, and we don't allow barriers to come up between us, and we move forward with God, because God is a part of church with the big C, not the little c. This is for his kingdom and his great name. Amen? Amen. So let's ask this. If we see that there's some parts that we can play, and I believe we can play both. I believe we can be a support and a participant. But what role are you and I willing to play in the life of Hope? Where are you and I willing to play a role when it comes to our faith and growing and coming into a deeper love for God? And I would encourage us that let us start by our faith piece. Let us learn to love God with all that we are. And that may be through just beginning by praying. It may be, let me pull that Bible out again and blow the dust off. Let me get some devotions. Let me listen to Christian worship music. I don't know where you are with that. But if you ask, God will show you how to do that. Not only that, we can choose to play an active role in participating in the life of Hope, because this is for his work and for his church. So we see that when we talk about living selfless, there's some parts that we can play. So for the next few moments, what I'd like to do is talk to you about in the name of love. In the name of love, what we want to do is we want to look at two things that are a part of a selfless life. And we want to see what that looks like for you and I, but also as our community of faith as a whole. Because we saw in the two parts, one whole, we saw from verses 4 and 5, again, a support system and a participatory role. But now let's take a look in our outline together as we see living selfless. The first is this, is that living selfless is a work of grace and faith. Living selfless is a work of grace and faith. Now in verse 6, Paul continues writing to Philemon, where he says, be active in sharing your faith. I want to get to the faith first, and then we'll get to the grace. But faith, when we do that, when we share our faith by how we live and by what we say about who God is in our lives, we are being Christ visible to the world around us. And so when we see that, if you remember from our Colossians series, we were challenged to say it's we live the Christian life by how we act and what we say. And we said that in that, if people are watching our lives, are they saying, if that is Jesus, that's what I want? Or if that's Jesus, thank you very much, I'll go find something else. And so when we say that, we want to look at what are ways that we can share our faith. Is it church initiatives that get us to go share our faith? Is it a special class? That may be for you. But what are ways that you individually, because we want to look at the individual piece first, to share our faith. But when we look at sharing our faith, I believe that we have to look at a work of grace first. You see, a work of grace tells us this. It's found in Romans 5, verse 8. From the New Century Version, it says, "But God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners." Even though our heart against God, even though we were enemies of the creator of the universe, Christ died for us. And that is a work of grace. You see, it was Christ's selfless act on the cross when he died for the humanity and sins of humankind, that brings us to a place where we say, I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who died for the sins of the world. And it was his active grace. It was his redemptive plan at Christ's expense. And that's a work of grace. And see, when we believe that God is working in this world, we believe that he is still in the business of restoration and rescue. And we place our faith in that. We not only understand a work of grace, but we understand that you and I have eternal life. Eternal life where it's celebration of God forever. Thank you, Tom, for sharing that. I get a picture of what heaven will look like. Because it begins with a work of grace. You see, if we don't get this right, we're not going to get this right. In other words, if we're off, if we're having a hard time to be selfless and understanding what Christ has done for us, then even in my own life, I'm not going to get the relationships right. But it begins with a work of grace. And we live in that grace daily. So not only is it a work of grace when we talk about living selfless, it's also a work of faith. Paul says, again, be active in sharing your faith. And the faith that you have in Jesus Christ, live in that now. And so sometimes that's a struggle for us, isn't it? Where we say, okay, so you're telling me, Jeff, you know, stay connected to the church family and stuff, but what about the people who don't know Jesus? Can I not have relationships with them and stuff? No. He's saying that when we have fellowship and intimacy with a body of believers, he's also saying, share your faith. That means that there are people who don't know the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we build relationships with others, and that we're the influence in their lives. We're the ones who are sharing who Jesus is to us and what he is doing. And then it's those times where we're able to, you never know, that people may come to you and me and say, that's what I've been looking for all this time. I'm empty, I'm hopeless, and I'm broken, and I'm in need of rescue. That's a work of faith. It's letting others know what Christ is doing in our lives, and we are being the gospel. When we were in Maine this summer, we met a gentleman by the name of TJ. And TJ is a gentleman who comes from another country. And he comes from a different religious background, which is hostile to Christianity. And he shared his story of his life. And he shared at age 16, he was going into a church, a Bible-believing church, where to go get his girlfriend, because he said, we were going out that night with friends of ours. He says he walked into the church, and he said, I was determined to go get her. we are not messing around anymore. I'm sick and tired of her being in this church. We're going to dinner with my friends. And he says he got fed up with her because he's going like this, and she's going, uh-uh, and he's going like this, and she's going, uh-uh. And he turned around to walk out, and he said, but something pulled at me, at my heart. And he said, that day, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. That was at age 16. He said, a few days later, I went home and all my belongings were out on the front porch. I was told that this is not real. You need to turn back to what you once believed. And so he fled to the United States, and he believes that what God did in that moment in his life was a work of grace. But the work of faith is now he is working with the Somalian community, he and his church, to see change and restoration to the Somali people. What a powerful testimony. Not only that, he said to those of us who were there, he said, you shine brighter than you've ever shined before. Not only while you're here, but when you go home. Because it's a work of grace, and it's a work of faith in your life. And so when we see that, we have to ask the question, I've asked myself this, as a result of what Christ has done for us, where is God asking me to give myself away? As a result of what Christ has done for me and for us, where is he asking me to give myself away? You know, I thought about that, and just on the smallest of things, he showed me that I have a lot of time wasters, because I told you I love Apple products. Sometimes I waste my time on my iPad or waste my time on that Phillies game that they never win. But he showed me, you know, and it's not just taking time with me all the time, Jeff. It's investing in other things. What about the things that you love to do? You love to be creative. You love to be with your wife. You love to be with your daughter. So he had me really reevaluate the time wasters in my life. And that may not be it for you. It may be that he's asking you to give yourself away financially. Or he's asking you to give yourself away by something that you know he's been nudging you to do for a long time, and you've just resisted. But maybe instead of saying, God, what have you done for me lately? Maybe we begin to ask the question, God, what is it that you want me to do to offer my life up today? So the world knows who you are. And so what we see is that individual peace. Is living selfless is a work of grace and of faith. Paul says to the church in Philippi in Philippians 1, verses 3 to 5, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Let us be people who allow God to work in our lives, and that is by a work of grace. And not only that, that we're active in sharing Christ with us, and that is a work of faith. So we see that individual piece of living selfless as a work of grace and faith. And the second is this, is that living selfless results in koinonia. Living selfless results in koinonia. Now I'm going to tell you what that word means in just a moment. But here in verse 7, what we see is Paul is telling Philemon, I am benefiting from what I'm hearing about you, Philemon. It is exciting to hear because I'm not only over, I am encouraged. And Paul continues to say, listen, it is energizing the hearts of the fellow believers there in your home church. And it's like Paul's like, man, I just wish I was there, but I have this kind of jail thing going on, so I can't leave. But man, I wish I was with you to see it in real time. And when you and I open up our lives to koinonia, it offers connectedness within our church. Not only does it offer connectedness, we begin to live life deeply together. And so if you could describe hope in one word, what would you say? Any of you? This is okay, you're allowed to interact now, but what would you say if you could give one word to describe hope other than hope? Assurance, genuine, family. This section over here, uplifting. Over here, oh wow, there was a lot. Peace, awesome. Peace, genuineness, uplifting, assurance. You know, the reason I ask that is because at the church picnic, my brother was here, and he was visiting because he was doing his dissertation over at Westminster Seminary. And he came to the picnic, and some of you were able to meet him. And as we were going home that day, I said to him, "So what did you think about like the whole picnic deal, and what did you think about the baptism and all that? And, you know, I'd just like to hear some feedback from you." And here's what he said. He said, "You're a very tight-knit group." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by being a tight-knit group?" He said, "Man, you all were genuine with each other. You could see the love that you had for one another." And he said, "And most importantly, what really blew me away is how you celebrated when people were being baptized and professing Jesus as their Lord. And they wanted everybody to know, and we all celebrated with that." He was blown away. Not saying that he doesn't have that where he is, but he said, "That's who you are." You see, the word koinonia, and when we talk about a work of koinonia, it's the Greek word meaning community, fellowship, communion in the body of Christ. When we live in community with one another, we are actively participating in the work of Christ in his church. That's what makes us different from other things. You know, and the why is great. Baseball and girl and Boy Scouts and those things are great to be a part of. But what is beautiful about Christ and his church is that we as a body, our common goal is to let the world know who Jesus is. And so what we can ask ourselves this morning is, what are some ways that we can create koinonia here at Hope? What are some ways that we can create koinonia here at Hope? And I'm not saying that we have to start new initiatives. I'm not saying that, you know, we have to kill everything that we have. But what I'm saying is, what about us when we individually come together? How can we create koinonia outside of our Sunday morning experience, our small groups, and our ministries? Where can we create a place outside of those places where we are doing life deeply? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 from the New Living Translation say this: "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Let us be people who choose community that is actively involved with the work of Christ on this earth. Let us choose to live life deeply together. Listen, I'm still learning how to do that. I'm learning how to live life deeply, be a friend over a leader, be a listener quicker than an answer, and that's how we do that. So this goes for Jeff too, because the truth is, as we know, as Christ followers, the world is broken, empty, and hopeless. They are in need of a Savior. And that's why you and I need each other, flawed and all. So we've looked this morning at our passage in Philemon. We saw that there are ways that we can be involved, whether it's being support or whether it's being a participant. We've seen this morning that living selfless is a work of grace and of faith, because when we have this tight, we will begin to learn and see others as God sees others and begin to work for his kingdom and his great name. So when we speak of for Christ and his church, the question for us this morning is, do I want to live selfless? Do I want to live selfless? Am I willing to give myself away? And ultimately, do we believe here, or do you, do I believe that Christ and his church are worth it? Now, if you've said yes to that this morning, I want to challenge you, as I've been challenged over the past several weeks, is asking God to show us where he wants us to be selfless and give ourselves away. And if you've said no to that today, and you're very okay with, you know, showing up is good and singing and maybe popping in to help a little bit here and there. Thank you very much. You know, and if that's where you are, that's okay too. And I'll pray that God would begin to stir your heart. But if you said no today, but you realize that you heard this message, that there was a selfless God who gave up himself for the salvation of humankind. If that's where you are today, I would say, come and see one of the elders or myself so we can talk to you about what a faith journey with Christ looks like. I want to close this morning with this passage that's found in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. It says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. Let us be individuals who allow God to work his grace in our lives as we continue to work our faith. Not only that, that we can be a church that is selfless and gives itself away. Because, you know, if you remember, there are several who are going to Transnistria at the end of September, and I hope that the same fervor that was for our youth will be for those who are going as well. That we will have people who are praying for us, people who, you know, we did like the snacks that the mission team you all put together. That was awesome, and kids can eat. Unbelievable. But here's the point, that we would have the same fervor to do that with our six who are going at the end of September. Not only that, you and I would be active in sharing our faith in how we live and in what we say. And that we have a deep love for God and each other. If I'm honest, sometimes I don't see this deal sometimes is worth it. Not on a faith level, but like sometimes I get frustrated or things don't go my way. But you know, through this passage here, I can say that I do see that Christ and his church are totally worth it. And I want to ask you to join with me in that. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever season of life that you're in, that you and I would just embrace the grace that is extended to us through Jesus Christ. Not only that, that we would broadcast Christ as the true hope of the world because he is the one who gave his life for it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we're grateful, God, that you give us your word. You give us your word to sometimes challenge us and encourage us. And God, this morning I pray that we have been touched by you, not by Jeff. That we would understand, God, that sometimes there are areas of our lives where we're so consumer-driven, even in our relationship with you and in our relationships to others here in your church. God, we need you. We need you to show us how to give ourselves away as we see a picture of selflessness through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we remember that in the times when we get frustrated. May we remember that in the times where flawed people fail flawed people. God, may we be quick to forgive. May we not allow the barriers to come between us. So what we ask, God, is that you would continue to lead your church here, that we would be receptive to what it is that you want to see happen in this world around us. Thank you, Father, for who you are, a God who continues to extend grace. And not only that, Lord, may we be willing to have you change our hearts so that we can say it's all for you. It's for your glory. Take our lives and let them be for your great name. And all God's people said, amen.